order to, we're next moving on to state board business. So in order to center our work around our vision, mission, and guiding principles, we revisit these items at each of our meeting. And we've spent a lot of time on charter schools a lot lately. But there are other things that we do. And I don't know if you're going to pull it up on the screen or not, but it is on our website, the board site. I do want to take the time, and I don't know if she is on the line or not. Rowan Sherman, we have our new UD public policy. Oh, right in front of me. I was actually wondering, I was thinking, who is this person? So I actually thought perhaps you were just like here for our board meeting, but I'm excited to see you and meet you. No, thank you. We appreciate your comment and for staying to that point in the meeting. So welcome. We're really looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking for you up there. Rowan is a UD public policy fellow. She is going to be working with us through June. So welcome and thank you for being with us. So the next item on our agenda is committee and meeting reports. So we do have the opportunity to provide written reports, any events or committee meetings that people have attended. They are compiled, they are posted on eBoard. I was on late last night. I saw one from Dr. Noble. I don't know if there are any other questions or comments that people have, or if there's anything that anyone wanted to mention here. Mr. Rushton.
Just a counterpoint, one of the advocates for the written record, and I have yet to submit a written report of my activities. So this is just a safe space in front of all the public to disclose that. But with that being said, there are 3 very important things that I wanted to disclose because there hasn't been a report out on it. The Equalization Committee met on March the 3rd of this year, and there was a decision that was made at the conclusion of that meeting to freeze the funding formula once more. For similar reasons, that decision has been consistent for some time now. One of the particular things that was interesting about the decision, though, this year was that if we did not choose to freeze, it would actually result in several districts receiving less funds than they otherwise would be entitled to, and it would result in essentially 2 other districts receiving additional funds over and above what they actually needed. Freezing seemed to, well, and again, when we freeze, those 2 districts essentially received, it looked as if they were receiving less, but it was not actually what they needed for their operation. So freezing seemed to be the most prudent path forward, but all of this is in the context of the overall discussion about reassessment of property values throughout the state, which is going to essentially be a key driver in what the end result looks like in a more equitable fashion for this formula. With that said, the tinkering of the formula itself based on some assumptions about reassessment is also a conversation worth having. And those conversations are ongoing. I think there was a decision that was made about some of the key financial officers in the district's meeting to talk about some proactive measures about what that would look like in advance of what's anticipated with reassessment. So wanted to report out on that and also share that on, I'm sorry, that meeting was on March 10th. On March 3rd, I attended a Wilmington Learning Collaborative meeting at Stubbs Dual Learning Center, and it was great. It was very well attended, and one of the key things about that I thought was interesting was there were community members who had showed up that day because the governor had knocked on their door and invited them to attend, walking the east side, really trying to do the work to engage people in that effort that we've been, you know, recipients of information about for some time. And lastly, today, I had an opportunity to attend an awesome dynamic program with some thought leaders from around the country about early learning initiatives. And it was, some phenomenal ideas that came out of that discussion. And following it, there was a luncheon in which a more focused group talked about some specific recommendations on how I think we can learn from some successes, particularly in the it was the Mississippi Department of Education They had some of their leaders there that talked about some of their experiences, and I'm going to put it all in writing so that it's more elaborative, but I enjoyed that experience and think that there's some things we can learn from them.
Oh, that's great. Looking forward to seeing them. And I will say, I also am one of those people that doesn't want things frequently. I will say that is a dialogue that we had, and we had a lot of discussion when we started the board. We just discussed what we did. I like hearing you talk about it rather than sitting at home and reading it. That is, as I've gone through this, I see the benefits to both. So to some degree, I would welcome feedback from board members, because we do get a mix. You know, there are people that Dr. Noble consistently, and she does a lot between meetings, but, and so that's really valuable to see it in writing, and then we can come prepared with questions. But there's also something to be said for listening to you just share what you did. So again, I'm really open to having feedback on that one. Anything else?
Yeah, I'd like to share something fun that I did. I mean, I did a lot of boring things, as I always do, like NASB meetings and so on. But on February 24th, I had the opportunity to tour the Academy of Dover with Michelle Marinucci and her assistant head of school, Mr. Hudson. Her policy when she has visitors is to not announce that they're coming. So nobody knew I was coming, which was wonderful. And it was a great opportunity for me to get a kid fix. I really think I needed that at that point. It's really amazing what Michelle has done to turn that school around. She's got some very talented people there. I spoke at length with her about a variety of things. I think the most fun thing of the day was opening the door to the first grade classroom, and she said, okay, get ready. And as soon as we walked in, the teacher said, oh, we have visitors. And they all jumped up and said, welcome to the first grade. And it was terrific. And then they all came and gave us hugs, which was really awesome. So, and they showed us like things that they're making. And anyway, had a really interesting conversation with Michelle and her assistant head of school afterwards, specifically about certification. As you know, Michelle is a highly certified professional, and you know, she's had lots of experience and she's done some great things turning that school around. But she also made a very good point, and I've made efforts to reach out to different people to talk about this, about that we do need for the charter school leaders maybe alternative pathways for them to get their professional licenses and certification. And I've been listening to professional standards. We're talking about that, but I just wanted to say that was really a fun day. And I think we all need to do that sometimes, is just go out there and experience the kids and see what this is all about. But she's running an incredible school there, and I was quite impressed with it.
No, thank you for that. And actually, for all board members, if you recall, she invited us, but we were during our process where they were in front of us, so we had to decline as a board. So I'm glad that you took her up on that offer, and I'm sure it's extended to all board members. Anything else?
Could I quickly?
Of course.
Thanks. So I was a panel speaker at a large education conference last week in Austin, Texas, South by Southwest EDU, and I was on a panel where we talked about COVID and healing and supports going forward. And we had a clinical psychologist on the panel. I spoke about social emotional learning in the classroom. And what was brought up repeatedly is that we can't forget, as we forge forward with high quality instructional materials and looking at our data and thinking we've got to move forward and catch up, we have to remember that every child in the system, every child from preschool to up to college age, has a scar in their developmental timeline, where although their physical development has progressed, their cognitive, social, emotional, and academic development is lower than their physical development. So we're looking at 8-year-olds who might act like 5- and 6-year-olds, or we're looking at 14-year-olds who might act like 12-year-olds. And I think we just have to remember that as we go through this work and we look at data and we talk about issues like teacher burnout, because that's what teachers are trying to do. They're trying to help kids, and that's literally what has happened to their developmental timeline. So I would just urge people to remember that. If you want to talk to teachers to see what it's like in a classroom, I'd be happy to talk to you. And I have lots of people that I could point you to if you're interested in a different setting or, you know, experience. It is an incredible challenge in classrooms right now, and we have to remember that. It's often difficult for me to talk about how difficult it is. So I just, at the center of that panel, there was just some wonderful discussion about the path forward. And I wanted to just share that with you and tell you how powerful it was and how that's what's always first on my mind every day as I walk into my classroom. Thanks.
Some of that path forward, is there something that you can share and bring back to the department? Because when you're in a classroom, you're here as the state board, so I don't know in what capacity you were there, but that kind of feedback is really valuable. I mean, I know the department has a lot of things that kind of are in the fire on this one. This is clearly an issue, especially when you think about teacher retention, because that burnout is real. But what is there I'm sure there's not a consensus path forward, and what is the takeaway, and where do you take the information from that conference back to Delaware?
I mean, what we talked about is just focusing on regulation and relationships so you can build resilience so you can move forward with learning. So, you know, Terry Lawler is doing all that kind of work at the department. There's a lot of really, really good work going on. But I would just say we have to keep that front and center as we look at accountability data and all the data that's coming out of classrooms. And we think about, are we catching them up, or do we have learning loss? What's going on? Are we doing it? We have to just remember that. And keep that front and center. So, of course, my expertise and my passion is around social emotional learning. So this is my wheelhouse, and I can talk about it all day long. But just to keep that front of mind as we develop plans going forward, and we look at every element of the system, because those are children that we're working with, and that won't go away, right? So it just won't go away, because next year it'll be those same gaps below their physical age development. That we've moved them forward, but their physical age goes on another year. So in our system, it's going to be present for quite some time. So it was just a powerful place for me to be.
No, that's interesting perspective. Any questions or comments? Does anyone else want to share?
Just very briefly, I'll share. I had an opportunity to attend a community meeting in South Wilmington within the last 30 days. And the purpose of the meeting was to have a discussion around the repurposing of the Albert Palmer School that was closed several years ago as a part of Christina's reconsolidation of schools. We met with Senator Darius Brown and Representative Frankie Cook to talk about the vision for what the community sees that building be purpose for. So we talked about multi-purpose, innovation, family innovation center with the latest technology and those things for workforce development along with the longshoremen. And so out of that meeting was very interesting. And we talked about some path forwards. And when I stood up and talked about innovation, John Sheehan from the governor's office was there, and he had connected me with a gentleman who was leaning into that innovation space. And so we talked, and he invited me to a robotics kind of championship, statewide robotics championship that was up in Talley Middle School. And I was really impressed with the opportunity, and come to find out they want to try to bring that type of technology to the urban center, because historically young children are not exposed to the robotics and drone technology to the extent that they need to be. So I just want to share that, and we're looking at forging that partnership also in the Southbridge community.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Any other comments? Okay. And thank you, everyone. I appreciate all of the added comments tonight. The executive director's report. So, Ms. Honor, if you wanted to go ahead with your report. And again, this is shared with everyone before, but if you just want to run through some highlights.
Sure. Thank you. As Ms. Whitney said, you have my written report. So happy to answer any questions about that. As she mentioned earlier, we were excited to welcome Broen to help with some of our work. She's already been digging in on some data points related to some of your questions, and has been copied on a few emails to you already related to some things that she's helped us to pull. So really excited to have her and to work with her over the next couple of months. And so I will say, you know, a lot of you have been asking questions related to different topics coming in front of us, or different interests, such as early literacy or just academic data, charter schools. You know, she is working with us for 20 hours a week for the next couple of months. So if there are policy questions that you would like us to dig in on, now would be the time to do it, because we have the extra capacity. So please think of those questions and send them my way. We're still in the process of hiring an administrative secretary, which means that I have been serving in both roles for since January. So that has meant just a lot of my time spent on administrative support tasks and maybe a little bit less time on some of our priorities. So we are in process, hoping to make an offer soon, and hopefully we will be on a path to getting someone started in that position shortly. Have also spent a lot of time supporting our CSEC members and answering some questions on charter schools. We talked about that at length today, but just important for you to kind of understand how I am spending my time. Recently had a good conversation with co-chair of one of the Reading Consortium subcommittees, the Social Determinants of Health Committee. One of the many things that they're working on is an equity dashboard. They got some funding in the state budget last year to look at an equity dashboard, and they're really in the early stages of defining what that looks like. So at their February meeting, all their meetings are posted online and their recordings are available if you'd like to go listen for more detail. But at their February meeting, they're really kind of brainstorming the audience for the dashboard, what type of data they would want to use, what data is already out there that they would want to combine it with, and really kind of what is the purpose of the dashboard. They're kind of going to work on refining that and further kind of defining what that looks like going forward. So just had a conversation with the co-chair to better understand sort of what their purpose was and the direction that they're hoping to go, the timeline, et cetera. So wanted you to know, we've talked a lot about equity, a lot about equity data. Wanted you to know that they are working on that, and that might be an area for us to either follow up with them or for you as individual members to kind of just be aware of and listen in if you want to think about how we could plug into that work in the future. In addition to that, just continuing to try to move forward some of the board's priorities around using data. Again, I said, you know, a lot of you have been asking questions that I've been trying to pull different data points for you all on, and I've been trying to share that kind of in my weekly email with you so that you are aware. Interesting. Thank you. So that you are aware of the questions that other board members are asking. We're working on the contract for the equity workshop. Contracts always take a little bit longer than I anticipate, so that is in progress, and hopefully we can get that scheduled soon. Working on the documents for the NASB grant, finally got the signed MOU back through, so hopefully we'll kick that off with NASB shortly. And then continued conversations related to next steps on early literacy. I attended the event that attended earlier, and I have a ton of notes and just kind of need to synthesize my thoughts, I think, before I can share a little bit more. But a lot of talk around different policies around teacher preparation, professional development for educators, and sort of high quality instructional materials, and how, you know, all of those fit together in terms of creating a strong literacy environment for our learners. So happy to answer questions on that or just send my notes in follow-up.
Before anyone asks anything, I actually just want to recognize how much work Jenna has put into charter schools, because I know we thanked, you know, Dr. Lofink and Dr. Noble. I think I've talked to Jenna almost every day for weeks, and she has done so much. So I just really wanted people to recognize, like, how much time she has put into this. And we only had one in front of us, but the amount of work that was done on two was a lot. So I just wanted to thank her for that.
And if I might ditto that, I mean, the work she has done to help us prepare for this, I mean, what you see presented from Vince and myself is like the tip of the iceberg, and Jenna's dealing with the rest of the iceberg. So I just want to thank her, because she's just an incredible young woman who does a great job for us. And I know she's been kind of like beating herself up because she's only doing two jobs now instead of one, plus being a brand new mother. But she's just really incredible, and she's been very, very helpful. So thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
I agree. Absolutely. Very well said.
Any questions around the executive director report? Okay, thank you.
So one last thing I just want to note, Ms. Sweeney said this a couple times, but we did move our April meeting to May 2nd. We're working on getting that updated on the website, but for anybody listening, That will be up.
Thank you. Okay, and so next is the secretary's report. So Dr. Halvik.
I'm going to start with some highlights that I think the board would want to be aware of. Put this in writing, but I just want to verbalize it and then answer any questions that you might have. This earlier this month, we announced some organizational changes within the department that moved career and tech, STEM and higher ed work groups from the academic support team to what used to be called educator support. That team has been renamed the workforce support team. This will allow for improved connection between high school, higher education, and the workforce. Luke Ryan is leading this team as the new associate secretary. I also wanted to make you aware that Deputy Secretary Christine Aloyas has been selected as Cesar Rodney School District's next superintendent. I think you already know this based on your relationship with her, but she has been a critical partner to me. And she has just done amazing work through the pandemic. She was she took the lead on that. She was instrumental in supporting Secretary Bunting as she transformed the department to this support model that exists today with a very strong reputation. This is a loss to the Department of Ed, but we wish her well, and we know that she is going to be an asset in Cesar Rodney. Her first day will be April 1st. I wanted to make you aware that the Knowledge Matters campaign will be visiting 3 Delaware school districts later this month to showcase their implementation of high quality math curricula. The tour will visit Cesar Rodney, Appaquinimic, and Brandywine. If you want details, we can provide that for you. And then I just wanted to mention some of our priorities that are moving forward that were mentioned this evening. Priorities of mine for sure. The Reverend mentioned attending an event that's tied to the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. Mr. Rushton mentioned that he attended one of the Learning Collaborative events. These engagement activities are ongoing. We just had one on Saturday at the Teen Warehouse up in Wilmington that was really well attended. That was the first one I attended in person. And what I loved about that event was that there were a lot of student leaders who participated and we heard their voice. I mean, they were very, very impressive in terms of being willing to share what they believe needs to happen to improve outcomes for students. My understanding is that we've had some student voice at these other engagement activities, but not quite at the level it was at the Teen Warehouse. I think you're already aware that all 3 school boards voted unanimously to move forward with the MOU process. We've had 2 MOU meetings thus far, today being the 2nd. And then I just wanted to emphasize and sort of support what Ms. Turner shared around social emotional learning. You know, I've had the opportunity in the last couple of weeks now that things have improved pretty dramatically, actually, in our schools in regard to us being able to scale back on some of the strategies we've been requiring over the past couple of years to mitigate spread. People are a little more comfortable with visitors coming into schools. So I've been able to hear directly from teachers, including today. On my way here, I was able to visit a preschool, the preschool program in Colonial, and meet with their past teacher of the year who really wanted to talk about things that we could do in the early childhood space to better support students and families and teachers, of course. So I do think it's critically important that we listen to the practitioners and understand what we need to do as a department to support school districts, charter schools. And I'll end with this. We have to offer extended and in particular summer opportunities for our children so that they have more opportunities to connect. In particular, those students who don't have the kind of opportunities many of us or many of our children have had. So I've said this in a couple of meetings, like my kids, we provided opportunities for summer activities, learning, exposure to things that I think all kids should have. But far too many of our kids don't have that. And they're the same kids that have suffered the most, same students and families who have suffered the most through COVID. So we have some resources that we've never had before to offer summer programming. Now, I fully recognize there are serious challenges to doing it, working with our community-based organizations, staffing, programming. It's hard. People need a break. With that said, if we target the right students, there's a real opportunity to impact students, both academically, socially, emotionally, field trips, activities in state parks, trips to universities, depending upon the grade level of the kids, activities that expose them to the arts that they otherwise wouldn't have. I think we should be as creative as possible. They should not be solely based in academics. It should be combined. And at the end of the day, they should be really interesting opportunities to our students and families. Thank you.
No, thank you. Questions or comments from the board?
Just briefly, a lot of what you said obviously was informative and it resonated with me, but I just want to pick up on the last point that you made. I know that there's a lot of goodwill being generated on the overall picture of what's going on with our kids. You know, obviously you're looking at it through the lens primarily of them in the educational sector, but, you know, as was noted earlier about this really innovative model with the city of Wilmington, with the school, you know, with industry, there's all these connection points and the burden on resources and particularly people who are teaching year round to then go in and make this extra effort. I heard you loud and clear on that, but I do think with that, there is a unique opportunity to lean into a lot of those nonprofit partners who are doing work. There are organizations that I am aware of that are really committed to reaching the populations that are in the schools every day that have the resources that can lift some of those burdens. So I'm hopeful that more collaborations like that are going to be able to be scaled. Like it's not a one-off with, you know, what's going on here, that we can really look to that and say, how can we make that available for other districts around the state?
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mr. Secretary, appreciate your comments, and I think you're spot on when you talked about the summer school opportunities and the partnerships with community-based organizations. And I think that's kind of where that space I've been leaning in on. We in the Southbridge community, we've set up, we've had about 12 learning pods throughout the city throughout the heart of the pandemic. We've landed on 6 right now in partnership with the United Way. One recent challenge, however, we were trying to get tutors from one district, and because of, I guess, the lingering impact of COVID, that the tutors can't come out to the community-based organizations. They have to actually provide tutoring in the schools, which now causes the child to have to stay in school and not come out to the community-based organization when they're getting all the fun and the other academic support, so forth and so on. So just a kind of a catch 22, and that was just confronted to us today. Just the support of the partnerships of the programs that are in the community, to Mr. Rushton's comment, is essential to that holistic social emotional piece, and just having this wholeness component. So I'd like to thank you for that. That focus and attention.
Thank you.
Can I make a quick comment as well? Thank you for all of that. And I like what you said. So there are opportunities right now with funding that we've never ever had before, right? So you have a high level of burnout in educators, which you can understand. I think one of the best things to come out of COVID was the incredible innovation that occurred, with teaching, with learning, with reaching people. If we can take that mindset to what you're talking about, so maybe there's a teacher who'd love to do something this summer, but they can't sign up for 8 weeks of summer school every day. They cannot do it. But could you have cohorts of people who came out once a week to work with kids, or who partnered with the Delaware Art Museum or whatever, the YMCA, and said, I can do it once a week, or I can do it 5 or 6 times this summer? Teachers are some of the most innovative human beings on the planet, and they solve problems like nobody's business. And so I love what you're saying, and we just talk to teachers and get their ideas and see what and how they're willing to come into this process, because it is essential. Kids need to have joy. They need to learn how to talk to each other. They need to have fun and experience all the wonderful things out there that life has to offer. And that will be a way to do it. So I love what you're saying.
Thank you.
This is Shelby Ferris. I think it might be interesting to pair with organizations such as Del Tech and their partners who have like student teachers to come out during the summers and maybe offer like credits or something similar, rather than having to like take funding and put it towards their salaries.
Lots of good ideas. Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Interesting. Anyone else?
Sure. I was lucky enough to be able to attend a school that Mark went. I went with Mark today, and we attended a school. What was it again? I forgot the name. Cap. Colonial. That's all I can tell you. Colonial School
it'll,
District.
It'll come to me.
It starts with a C. Colwick.
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 Colwick. Early Childhood Center, and we visited with Rebecca Vitelli, yes, who was State Teacher of the Year, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
The beginning of the
pandemic. And it actually, that came from a meeting that I think Ms. Turner was in 2 months ago with the State Teachers of the Year. She followed up and said, being that you have an interest in early childhood, come visit. So
quite an amazing, it's first time I've been into a preschool like that. A public preschool, and it was very amazing, very eye-opening. Rebecca was full of great thoughts. I mean, she's a go-getter, and I think she'd back it up. But I just appreciate the opportunity to walk in that school, and 3 and 4 year olds. I mean, I'm a softy for kids that young, and you know, I think there's a picture of Dr. Holodick in the floor down there with them. I'm not sure if that was saved or not, but we got right in there with them, and they loved it. I mean, they just carried right on, but. Those the teachers showed so much passion. I don't know how they had so much energy all day long. I mean, it was impressive, and I can't say enough for what I saw today. And I'm thankful I had that opportunity.
Oh, that's great. Actually, I remember when she presented to us, because it was really kind of right around the time that we went virtual, and her energy was phenomenal. I remember that. You could like it lit up our screens.
It was.
Anything else from board members? Okay, and thank you for those comments, Dr. Holodick. And we now have time set aside for formal public comment. So as a reminder, the board will not respond to questions. Actually, I guess I have to read this whole thing. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was also available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. Do we have anyone online? Okay, then with that, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
I got your back, Vince. Make Brittingham make a motion to adjourn.
Second the motion.
Then it is 7:45 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Let's hold this.